The scripture reading this morning is taken from Philippians chapter 4. I'll be reading verse 4 through 7. That's Philippians 4, verse 4 through 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.
Good morning, everyone. Glad to see you. Glad that you're here. We got some full pews, and that's always a great thing. I just got in from out of town, and it's always a joy to come back to be with everyone, see some new faces, see some old faces, some young faces. No offense to anyone, but great to be with you all this morning. I'm very, very grateful. This morning, as we are turning towards this time in our worship service, we're going to continue in the theme for the year, which is on the handy-dandy graphic, striving together in prayer. We've been talking about it all year, one lesson a month. How should we pray? What should we pray for? What do we learn from people who pray in the Bible? And today's lesson is entitled, Again I Pray, Rejoice. I've been thinking a lot about prayer this year, reflecting on what we should be focusing on and what can be taught from God's word. And I've been absolutely struck by how often gratitude is lined up with prayer in the Bible over and over and over again. And so that's what we're going to be focusing on this morning, is gratitude in our prayer, rejoicing as we pray. If you want to be opening up your Bible to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we're going to be there in just a second. 1 Thessalonians 5. Before that, we've got something of a normal thing for us today. We normally have a piece of art on the screen as we start to kind of help us center our minds and focus on what we've got today. Today's not a work of art in the ways we've normally had. Normally we have some kind of painting or drawing. This is a photograph from a famous church in Sedona, Arizona. Which is pretty fun to say. But I really, really like this photo. I kind of like photography. And what I like so much about this one, as much as you can tell with the lights in here, is the contrast in this photo. Really, really, really bright, almost blown out on the left, and really dark on the sides. And this man here in this church building is looking towards the light on the outside. And that's where his focus is, and it's lighting him, his face up. And I don't want to be too, artsy-fartsy. I don't know if that's the right word for it. You know what I mean. Sometimes people talk too much about art, and it's like, I think you're just making stuff up. It's really not all there. But it is here in this photo, I think, the importance of looking to the light. And that it's in this church, it's in the house of the Lord, where that focus is turned to that. I think it's very, very important. So I really admire this. And I want you to think about that as we continue in this lesson. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, this is what Paul writes to the church. At the end of the letter, after all the other things he said, this is how he sends his final words to this group of Christians. He says in verse 16, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Paul talks like this often. This is something of a good memory verse. It's probably something you've heard many times before because it's very short and it's very simple. You know, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. These very short and easy to think about things. But it's something that's a routine for Paul. As you read through the New Testament over and over and over again, he's overflowing with thankfulness for people and encouraging that and exhorting people to do the same. We won't go through all of them right now for the sake of time. But if you look at the start of nearly every single one of his letters, every single one starts with, this is Paul writing to the church here. I thank God for you all the time. Every single, he starts that that way in Ephesians. He says, I pray for you unceasingly, remembering you and giving thanks for you. Or in Philippians, he says, I thank God always for you in every prayer because of the partnership, the way that we share in the gospel. Or he thanks the Colossian church for their faith for God, their love for each other. He says, I always thank God for you when I pray for you. Or when he writes another letter to the Thessalonians, he says, I thank my God for you all the time, as is right. He says, I should be thanking God for you. And as you read through and you pay attention to this and you're looking for it, you think, okay, we get it. You know, you can slow down with it, Paul. I understand. But Paul takes the time over and over to express it. He doesn't say, well, you know me. You know what I have to say. I'll just get right into it. He slows down. And he takes the time to be grateful. And that's what we need to think about today, especially as it's paired together with prayer. Because something that he mentions in each of these letters at the start is not just that he likes them or that he misses them or that he loves them. He says, I pray to God because I'm thankful for you. It's not just an emotion for him or something that he thinks about. It's part of his worship and his relationship with God. It's his gratitude for others and what they do for him. And that's what we're going to focus on today as we think about how we pray, how we worship God. What's on our hearts, what's on our minds as we come to pray to God or to sing to him? What's the most pressing thing? And the example we see all over the place is gratitude. Gratitude, gratitude, gratitude. This is the way that he says it, the passage we just read. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. It's worth pointing out all of the absolutes in this passage, right? He says, rejoice always. And it's not just flowery language or a hyperbole. He says, all the time, rejoice. Or pray without ceasing. Don't cease, right? Quit stopping when you're praying. Pray all the time. In fact, he just gets right to the point on this third one. Give thanks in all circumstances, all the time. And that gets to the root of this question of why are we grateful and when should we be grateful? Because there are times when it's not so natural to be grateful. You know, it's easy to be thankful when everything's going very well and you're very happy and you're surrounded by people that you love and things are all chipper. And you say, I'm really thankful right now. It's a good day. Whenever it's a bad day and you feel lonely and you feel down and you've got serious problems in your life, do you sit down at the end of the day and say, I'm thankful even if it was a bad day? Is that what's on your heart? Because this is what Paul is reminding this church to do and to be. To be grateful, grateful, and to rejoice in all circumstances. There's a lot to this, I think, but a lot of the reason that Paul reminds Christians to be grateful, I think, at least in part, is because it shapes our character and our heart. It changes the kinds of people that we are when we are choosing to be grateful in blessings and in trials. So I want to talk a little bit about that this morning. Thankfulness shapes us by practice. You've probably heard a phrase similar to this. If you just Google, you know, quotes about character or something, this will probably pop up pretty quickly. We are what we do, right? The things that you think become your actions. The things that you do become habits. Your habits become your character, right? People recognize you and perceive you and find out who you are by the way that you often are, right? If Don, who's visiting today, is always happy, always cheerful, but then one day he's like a real grouch and he's very grumpy and he explains himself that way to everyone. For the most part, no one's going to say, oh, there's Don the grouch. They're going to say, well, he's happy all the time and that's the way I normally think about him, right? And this, it's the practice and the consistency of our lives that people remember. It's not the outliers. And so what Paul is reminding this church And by the Spirit is reminding us is your regularity, your consistency, your practice needs to be thanking God all the time in every circumstance. That's what needs to be constant and consistent for you. And so what does that look like to practice gratitude? There's a couple other passages that'll be on the screen and that you're welcome to turn to that I think help us get in on this. He says to the Colossian church in Colossians 4:2, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. Being watchful in it. I've always really been puzzled by the way that Paul says this. I get the first part, you know, continue steadfastly in prayer. Very similar to what he said in the passage we read earlier about being steady, you know, not losing track of your prayer life or whatever. But then he says here at the end, being watchful in your prayers with thanksgiving. I think, okay, well, how do I be watchful in my prayers? What am I looking for as I'm praying with an eye towards thanksgiving? I think what he's talking about here is looking for the things to be grateful for. Putting effort into paying attention to what you should be grateful for. Looking for the blessings that God's giving you. Instead of saying, well, you know, I've got some good things and I guess I'll be grateful for that. You know, the big flashing signs of blessings that God seems to give me. He says, no, you need to be watchful. Look for the things that you should be grateful for. Because God gives every good and perfect gift. Everything good that exists in this world is given by God. And it's our obligation to look for those things and to be grateful for them as part of His creation. I remember when I was young, my siblings and I would say a prayer before bed with our parents. And when I was getting a little bit older than my younger brother, he was probably like 4 or 5, his prayers would be monotonous and it would drive me nuts. You've probably seen the same thing in your kids or your siblings. At a certain age, they become aware of a lot more things in the world. You know, their knowledge gets a little wider and wider. And he would sit down, he'd pray and say, thank you, God, for the rocks and for the trees and for the deer and for the grass and on and on and on. And I'm sitting here thinking, just wrap it up. Just say amen. Just, you know, get this thing done. And I was an impatient 7-year-old at the time, you know. And the more and more I've thought about those prayers, or the prayers that you hear children give, it's not something to disdain or to look down on. Because they're taking nothing for granted. You know, it's so easy. You're going to step out of the church building here, hopefully soon, right, if the lesson wraps up. And you're going to see the Santa Cruz Mountains on the ridge. And a lot of us see those every single day. And it's like nothing special, right? And as an adult, you see them all the time and you don't think anything of it. But a kid who sees these things and doesn't take them for granted, they're like, wow, that's beautiful. Or they pray to God and they say, I'm thankful for all these things that to us is just normal. It's just a part of life. And these kids in their simple and childlike thankfulness and their faith, they say, this is something good that God made. And I need to thank Him for that. This is part of what it means to be watchful in your prayers with thanksgiving. When you sit down at the end of the day and you've enjoyed good things, or you've seen some grace, or you've been given some kindness by someone, even if it's something that normally happens for you, are you looking for it? Are you paying attention to it? Or are you blind to it? That's the question in this passage. You know, maybe you ate 3 meals that day, or yesterday, or the day before. Are you planning on it today, right? Pretty normal thing for probably everyone here. Are you grateful for that? Even if it's normal, are you watching for it? This is how we practice gratitude. Or the way that he writes it in what was the scripture reading today. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in prayer, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. How do you practice gratitude? How do we make it something that's consistent so that it shapes our hearts and our characters? He says, let your requests be made known with thanksgiving. Right? Do you notice that? He talks about the joy of the Lord, talks about the peace of God. And here in the middle, as he's talking about anxiety, he says, in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. It's funny how your prayers change as you grow older, right? Maybe when you're younger, or maybe it's not, maybe this is arbitrary, but just follow along with me for a second. Maybe when you're younger, you pray a lot of these thankful things, like my little brother's prayer, where it's like a 20-minute list of thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. As you get older and your scope of understanding widens and you see more and more of the problems in the world and in you and in your life, you have a lot more requests. And the problems stack up, right? And you look at the prayer list at your church, and it's like, here's all these people who need something. And they have all these problems and all this trouble. And it's real stuff, right? There's no flimsy fake things on the prayer list. These are big problems. And it becomes our prayer life to sit down or to kneel and to bow our heads and say, God, just give me all these things. Help me with all these things. I need it. And Paul says, hold your horses. That's not how you should pray. He says, do you want the joy of the Lord? Do you want peace in your life and in your mind? Let your requests be made known with thanksgiving. When you're asking for things, even as you're requesting something else from the Lord, be grateful for what you already have. That's how you pray. And so when we have our prayer list at church, or when you sit down at your house or at your work or wherever you are, when you have something that's pressing on you and you say, God, I need help with this temptation, or I need relief from this pain that I'm in, or I need help knowing how to reconcile this relationship. It's really hurting a lot right now, God. But also thank you for sustaining me. Thank you that I can speak to you and trust in you. Thank you for your faithfulness and for your people that support me. So even as you are asking for things, even as there are things that are not all the way that they should be, there might be more that we need, even then we're surrounding our prayers with gratitude. And Paul says, that's how you rejoice in the Lord. That's how you have the peace of God that's going to guard your heart. If you want the joy that God gives and the peace that God gives, you're never going to have those things without the gratitude for what he's given you. That's where it stems from. That's where it all grows from. And that has to be a part of our practice. I've been trying to think about that for myself as we pray before Bible class or at the end of worship. You know, it's like, well, what should we pray for? Who needs help? Who needs this or that? Well, what else should we pray for? What should we be thankful for? What good things have you enjoyed by God's hand this week? Let's express gratitude for that together. And so thankfulness shapes us by practice, being watchful for prayer, letting our requests be made known with gratitude, being constant and constant with it. But it also shapes us by perspective. And I think this is really gets to the heart of what this is all about. Constant thankfulness puts us in frame for the rest of the world. It helps us to understand where we're at in relation to everything else that God's done. It kind of calibrates everything. The more and more that we are watchful for the things that God gives us, the more and more that we have to be made aware. It's one and the other of how little we deserve all the blessings that God gives. The people who are the least grateful, and I'm sure if I just said, think of the least grateful person you know, somebody's popping up, right? Don't look around in this room, but somebody's popping up, right? Maybe it's someone at work or in your family or a friend. They're never happy. They're never pleased, right? It's like you could be out having a beautiful like walk at the park. You're out at like a, you know, having a beautiful lunch with all your friends, and they're like upset about the waiter. And you're like, what is wrong with you? You know, can you just be happy about what's going on right now? As we think about this perspective, the more and more that we are having to be thankful, it points the light back at us saying, I really haven't earned this, right? That's the problem with unthankful people and ungrateful people, which the Bible says is a big problem, is that it comes from this place of entitlement that, well, I deserve this, right? If I'm going to a nice restaurant, if I'm paying all this money, I better have good staff, right? It's like, how about you just be grateful that you have the means to go anywhere and buy food that's healthy and safe and you can enjoy it? As we go all the way through, the more and more and more that we are watching for what we're grateful for, it points it back to us, showing us how little we deserve any of it. And that shows even more the grace of God and the gifts that He gives. Gratitude puts us in our place, because if we're going to be really honest with what the Bible says about the way the world is, we're not the main character. You're not the protagonist. Humanity is not the protagonist. It's like, what's the point of the world? It's not people. It's not. God is the creator and the king and the father of us all. The world is about God. The universe is about God. Our lives, your life personally, it's not about you. It's not. And the more that we can recognize that, we say, well then, as little as I am, and as lowly as I am, or as sinful as I am, or unfaithful as I am, God has still given me all these good things. Here I am standing in a room with all these people who God has loved, and who love each other, and are kind to each other, and share good things, and pray for one another. How can we not be grateful? Or as we sit here with this like incredible weather, in these comfy chairs with air conditioning and clean water, it does taste a little funny coming out of the water fountains. But it's clean and it's safe. And for that, I'm grateful. It's unique and I remember it. And for that, I'm grateful. The more and more that we focus on gratitude, the more and more that we don't lose sight of it, the more and more that we can take entitlement and pride out of our hearts, we can realize just how good God is. That pride, that entitlement will blind us to God's goodness, and it will harden our hearts. We must choose gratitude. Grateful hearts are soft and moldable to be shaped by the hands that shape the heavens and the earth. He will guide each of us. The final thing I want to think about is at the last part of this passage that we've kind of been centered on. Here in 1 Thessalonians 5, he says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." The final thing I want to ask you this morning is, why are we doing this? What's the point of talking about this? As we think about gratitude and you know, shaping our character or our hearts, like we've talked about, changing our perspective on how we see things, why do we do that? What's the point? It's not self-improvement. It's not just to motivate you to make your life better or to make you happier. You know, we read earlier in Philippians 4 about rejoice in the Lord or the peace of God. It's like, why are we grateful? It's not just so that we can be happy or peaceful. Here's what Paul says about it at the end of this passage. He says, this is the will of God for you. Why am I grateful? Because that's what God wants for me. That's it. Sometimes, and this is where we're going to land today. Sometimes we can get it twisted up and we think, well, it's easy to do what God wants me to do when I benefit from it or when I like to do it. And that's not the point. That's not the point. We must obey God, not because it benefits us, although it does. We must obey God, not just because it suits us, and maybe it does. We must obey God, not just because it makes sense to us, and we want to do those things, even though that might be likely. We must obey God because He is God. Because He is the creator and we are His children. That's why we obey. It's like, why are you grateful? It's not just because, well, I want to be happy and I'd like to have peace and so I'll do what God says. No. I'm going to be grateful because God wants me to be grateful. Not just because I benefit from it. Because if you're only doing these things that God wants you to do because you get something out of it, are you serving God or are you serving yourself? There's a difference here. The very first commandment on those tablets that Moses had, you shall have no other God beside me, not even if it's yourself, right? Serving God benefits us entirely. It's for our good that he has told us these things. Maybe this gratitude makes a lot of sense to you. Maybe you like to be a thankful person. But all of that, all of those things must be second to this, that I'm grateful because that's what God wants from me. And I want to please my Father. I want to do what God says because I respect him. And he is the king. He is my God. There is no other reason that comes before this. This is the will of God for you. So this is what we must do. It's what we must do. So as we think about prayer, finishing up the lesson, I want you to think about how thankful you are and how important it is to say it out loud when you pray. I've used this a couple times. I'll use it again because I think it's really effective. If you're in a relationship, if you're married, if you've got a friendship, if you've got a girlfriend, you can be as thankful as anyone in the whole world. But if you don't say anything, they're going to be pretty upset, right? It's like, oh man, I love them with all my heart. They're the best person I've ever known. We're such a good team. I'm so thankful for all these things they do for me. But I never once said thank you because it's just in my heart. Like, I just know it. It's like, you're going to be asleep on the couch, man. You're in trouble, you know. You need to express it. That's what relationships are all about. It's not enough just to have it in your heart. Say it out loud. And not to make light of it, but to help us understand. Pray out loud to God. Say thank you. Even if you appreciate it, even if it means a lot to you, don't just stop there. In our prayers today, for the rest of the day, for the rest of the week, however much you keep praying, remember to say thank you. Because every good and perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights who has made us and redeemed us and loved us. This is how we must pray. This is the way. As normal, we will end our lesson with a prayer, and then we'll have our invitation song. So if you would please stand, we'll end with a prayer, and then if there's anything you need, we'll be up here as we're singing. Let's all bow. God Almighty, who spread the heavens and formed the earth, your name alone is holy. Thank you for making us as a part of your good creation. Thank you for your faithful love and depthless mercy. You've led us all through different trials. You've saved us all from certain death and our sins, and we are eternally grateful. Give us the strength and humility to be grateful and to remove entitlement and pride from our souls. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. It's for Christ's sake that we pray, and amen.